Bibles, Book of Acts, chapter 2. Saw a sign on the way here.
You did.
You saw it. You drove right by it anyway. I don't know what you saw. God loves you whether you like it or not. That's true.
That's true.
For some people.
Some people.
God doesn't love everybody.
No, he doesn't.
Nope. Never said he did. And to be fair, he doesn't have to. Anyway, Acts chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I know this is Super Sunday because of a football game. But it's always Super Sunday because it's the day of the week we set aside to gather together because Jesus Christ did rise from the dead.
Amen.
This is what we celebrate. This is what we are to remember. His flesh did not see corruption. Now this was Peter preaching to the Jews at the day of Pentecost. And he was quoting the words of David, the man after God's own heart. He was relating these words to the work of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. God's Holy One would not see corruption. But God's Holy One had to die. The blood of God's Holy One had to be shed. And Christ did die, and Christ's blood was shed. But Peter said before this, that this all happened according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That kind of makes a little bit of nonsense out of that sign this morning, Walter, where they think God loves everyone. There's a determinate counsel and a foreknowledge of God, and it determined beforehand that Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. His blood was going to be shed, and it was going to be effectual for his people.
Amen. That's right.
Wicked men took Christ and crucified him and slew him. That's what Peter told them. He told them, you did this. However, before they did it, there was the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. They still had wicked hands, but it was still the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And you know why? Because the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God always comes first. Always comes first. Before everything, God is all. He is the eternal I am. And I really do wish some days I had a handle on the word eternal. I have problems with everlasting. Not changing. Never changing. I've been around 52 years now, which is a strange thing to say out loud. And a strange thought to have. Over half a century I have lived. And I don't know nothing but change. Thankfully, I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. Thankfully, I'm not as dumb as I used to be. Everything I know changes except God. He is the only one I know that never changes. But eternal, I don't get it. I wish I did. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I believe this, but this, you know, I need to work on my comprehension, I guess. But luckily, my understanding is not an issue. Believing Him is the issue. But the point is, the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God about the death of His Holy One came before the foundation of the world. Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's out of Revelation 13 and verse 8. Christ being delivered into the hands of wicked men to be crucified and slain was determined before the world was made. The sacrifice of Christ was purposed and planned and provided for before the foundation of the world. Christ's blood was shed in time. And with the shedding of His blood, there is the remission of sins. Because Christ's blood was offered, not the blood of bulls and goats, and it wasn't offered to me or you. Christ's blood was offered to God, and it was accepted by the Father. And us believers, the elect, being in Him, we were accepted of the Father. How do we know it was accepted? Verse 32 here. This Jesus hath God raised up. We saw Him with our own eyes, Peter said. His flesh was not corrupted. And then He ascended into the heavens, out of our sight. And right now, Jesus Christ is in heaven. He was exalted by the right hand of God. He gave us the Holy Spirit of whom, now you are hearing the result. David told you this. Old Testament saints, what did they know? David saw this, he spoke it, and he wrote it down. Amen. Yeah. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. That's what Peter's preaching to these Jews, the words of David. Yeah. Jesus is both Lord and Christ, Messiah. That's what Peter was preaching to these Jews. This same Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Christ. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Redeemer. Like I said last week, the redemption has been purchased. The redemption has been done, but he is Redeemer still. He is Messiah. He is Christ. Because none of these declarations are ever in the past tense talking about Jesus Christ. It's who he is. It's not who he was. It's who he is. Because whatever he was, he still is. And whatever he is, he will be. It's always present tense. Now man's deeds are spoken of in the past tense. You did crucify him. You took him by wicked hands and slew him. You with your wicked hands killed Messiah. However, this man is now accepted by God and seated at his right hand. Christ did die. His blood was shed, all according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. However, right now, this same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. And that's still true now. And that's the good news we've got. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Redeemer. Present tense, right now. That's the good news of the gospel right now. And that's the message we're supposed to preach. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We are to proclaim his accomplished work on the cross. His blood that was shed for the remission of sins. He by himself offered his blood to God as the atonement for the sins of many. And see, that's where we run into trouble. And that also was prophesied in the Old Testament. And this will cause a division almost as quick as anything else. Probably about the only thing that caused anything any quicker is God doesn't love everyone. Because that's the two things that people hold right now in churches across this country and across the world. That is has to be for them universal. That Jesus Christ's blood was shed for everyone. And that God has to love everyone. See, without those rules, they don't have a message.
Amen. That's right.
If you take away those rules, all bets are off.
Yeah.
They don't have any good news. Because they don't understand the work of Christ accomplished what it was set out to accomplish. Isaiah 53, Old Testament saints again. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He's going to be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The righteous servant, Jesus Christ, shall justify many. And that's what he did. How? He bore their iniquities. If he bore your iniquities, he's going to justify it. Now, if he did that for everyone, you're left with universal salvation. Which is what some people say. Unfortunately, the book says something different. The righteous servant shall justify many. He bore the sin of many. He bore the sins of his people on the tree at Calvary. the book of Hebrews shows us what Christ did as a sacrifice for sin forever. 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen.
I'm looking for it. Then he goes into chapter 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. That says for all. And you can leave that in there, but I like leaving it out. Once.
Yeah, once.
Once. Once. Once. Once. And if that once ain't enough for you, you ain't got no hope. Because there ain't going to be another one. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to reapply the blood.
Right.
I've heard people say that. You got to get back under the blood. No. Once. 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 And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's getting quoted all over the place. That must be important. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are sanctified by the offering. We're perfected by the offering.
Yeah.
And that offering was once. That's for all. Sanctified and perfected by the offering. Now there was, past tense, one offering for sin. And for many, it's forever. This is what Peter was telling these Jews. What happened when he told them this, Walter? It's something we don't see much of today. They were pricked in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
They were pricked in their hearts. And they said, what do we do? What do we do? That's what I don't see today. Except for a few isolated cases here and there. Contrary to some people's popular belief, there is no great movement to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be a wonderful movement to a Christ.
Yeah.
A false Christ.
Yeah, false Christ.
I watched that whole television show on three or four of them that are there now. That guy in the Philippines kept saying, he is the Son of God. That's what he's telling people. And they believe him. They believe him. And they give millions of dollars. He's got his own TV station. He's got a couple of radio stations. He's got newspapers. He's telling people he's the Son of God. He's a liar.
He is a liar.
Be not amazed. Satan was an angel of light. When his ministers show up, they're going to show up as ministers of righteousness. Not God's righteousness. Maybe their own righteousness. Maybe your righteousness. But it's not going to be about God's righteousness. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I'd like to see that today. The few times some of this stuff has come out, among others, we had a fist waved at me. Had threats made. Luckily, I didn't hear those. Walter did, but I didn't hear it. About let's hang them from a tree. Bless you, brother. Thank you for your compassion. But I did have compassion for those people. Because I was not the offended party at that situation. They were fussing at me, and they were fussing at Walter, because we stood up for this Christ, this same Jesus, that God has made both Lord and Christ, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, seated there, expecting his enemies to be put under his feet, because his enemies are going to be put under his feet. He is Lord and Christ. This Christ, we found out, these people didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't know him.
And not only didn't they know him, they didn't like him.
Right.
And not only didn't they like him, they wasn't going to have him.
Yeah.
And that scripture hits home sometimes when you read it. It says that it was a parable. It says, we will not have this man to reign over us. Mm. Yeah, you will. God's going to reign over you whether you like it or not, Walter. Put that up on your sign. Christ is going to reign over you whether you like it or not. Whether you're in his presence, whether you're in him, or whether you're under his feet.
Amen.
Whether he's going to use you as a footstool. I don't want to be used as an ottoman for the rest of creation. But somebody's going to be under his feet. I want to meet somebody that's pricked in their hearts. That's a good thing. It's a blessed thing. But here they said they were pricked in their hearts. And said, what shall we do? Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's true. If you're pricked in your heart. What did he tell Peter, Paul, Saul at the time? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You can kick, but it doesn't help. You can struggle. But when God pricks you, you will repent. You'll be baptized. And you'll know of the remission of sins through the blood of Christ. Already accomplished. You'll learn of your salvation. This same Jesus who these men crucified is both Lord and Christ. How many of these people believed and repented truly? Peter gives you the answer here. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That happens before the pricks in the heart. Exactly as many as the Lord our God called were pricked in their hearts and cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? No more, no less for this time right here. Every time anyone comes to Christ, it's because the Lord our God called him or her. Walter's been preaching it. The Lord gives the increase. This same Jesus whom these men crucified is both Lord and Christ, and he calls his sheep by name. And all of this happens. I got to get used to these glasses. They're about to kill me some days. All of this happens by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's why Peter started out this sermon that way. The birth of Christ, his perfect life, his being taken, crucified, and slain, his offering being accepted by God, his ascension and being seated at the right hand of God the Father, and his chosen people being given life, and faith, and called to himself, All of this is by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. And his people come to know him. His people come to him when he calls. And then the best part happens. Because Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ, then he becomes my Lord and my God. Because Jesus Christ is my God. It is personal. I've been doing a little reading. And I got to do a little checking to see how much of this is true, but part of it is where some of these Muslims go to Mecca, and it's the fifth tenet or fifth pillar of Muslim is the pilgrimage to Mecca. But once they get there, they got a lot of stuff to do. You got to go in this mosque, and you got to go up to this one thing, and you say a little prayer, and you touch this black stone. This is the stone that Adam brought out of the Garden of Eden. It used to be white. But see, everybody touching it, not taking all their sins away, it's turned black, the stone has. I'm going to tell you something. You can take any white stone, and if enough people touch it, it's going to turn black. Because people didn't wash their hands. And even if you do, you still got oil on your fingers, you know. But anyway, then they walk around the mosque seven times. Then they walk over here to this mountain. They walk over here to this mountain. Well, these mounts are not very big now because they've been worn down, supposedly, by the feet of the faithful. And then they have to walk back, and then they go around somewhere else, and then they pray. And it's like, no. I thought Catholicism was full of nonsense some days. All you have to do is come to Christ. Yeah. But in order to do that, you got to be pricked in your heart.
Yeah.
But in order for that to happen, God's got to give you life.
Yeah.
And you come to the conclusion, well, I guess it is all by grace, Walter.
Yeah, it's all by grace.
It's all by grace. His grace, his work for his people. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent.
Yeah.
It's the work of God. And I thank God for it.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we are again thankful for this place, this time. Most of all, thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and shed his precious blood for my sins and for the sins of all his people. Thank you for him. Thank you for life and light and love, which his people have through him. In his name we pray. Amen.